It is Overdrive on this Friday. Gord Miller and Steve Simmons with you. Hope you're enjoying your Friday drive. If you're in the car or at home watching us now on TSN2, it is Mail It In Friday. Brought to you by Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill. Still to come, we'll talk to Dave Naylor in a few minutes about football, the CFL, the NFL, everything that's going on in football. We'll also have Mean Tweets at 6:25. I know you're looking forward to that, Stephen. We have a lot to talk about. If you're just joining us today, the Olympic opening ceremony was this morning. The games begin in earnest kind of tomorrow morning our time. It's already Saturday there, and so we'll be into the overnight hours, and the Olympics begin.
You can do your Brian Williams time check.
I don't do that.
Everybody does that.
I know, I do. But I like Brian. I do a good Brian Williams impression.
Boy, did I miss him today.
Yeah.
I missed Mansbridge and him. Yeah. I really wanted to hear them.
Yeah, they're good broadcasters. So we got the Olympics starting. There's the Zach Hyman news that his agent, Todd Reynolds, is saying that Zach Hyman will not be back with the Leafs. Terry Koshin of the Toronto Sun is reporting there's a deal in place with the Edmonton Oilers Ken Holland, the Edmonton GM, and his Toronto counterpart, Kyle Dubas, are working on a deal for compensation, which would indicate, to me, that there may be an 8-year deal in place for Zach Hyman to lower the AAV, the average annual value. So, for example, if you give a guy, let's pick some even numbers, if you give a guy $5 million over 7, that's 35, but over an 8-year deal, you can lower the AAV, right, to... So you have a 7-year deal at $5 million, at $35 million. So an AAV of 5 can be lowered to like 4.25, which helps.
So if you're the Edmonton Oilers, for example.
Yes.
And you're signing Zach Hyman, and you know how he plays, and you know how difficult it is to play that way, and he's 29 years old now, how many years at the top level can he continue?
I think I would assume that this trade... or that this deal will be heavily front-end loaded. This contract is going to be super front-end loaded. And so if you have to buy your way out of years 5 through 8, or he gets injured and goes... I mean, almost no one retires in these deals. Bad look for the Vancouver Canucks that Roberto Luongo retired because that stuck them with that cap recapture penalty. But almost...
That's, by the way, the dumbest thing that ever came out of the salary cap.
First of all, it was mean because the contract Luongo signed didn't have cap recapture in it. That was done retroactively in the next collective bargaining agreement by the league to go back and attack those contracts.
That's like
saying you bought your house for a specified price, and then when you sold it, oh, we changed the law. You got to give X amount back to the original buyer. Yeah,
I don't like that period. I just think that's wrong. But you look right now. You've got all of these Leaf issues with Hyman gone, and how does it affect other teams, and how does it affect the rest of the teams in Canada? Then you've got the draft going tonight, free agency starting in a couple of days, the NBA draft coming up, Raptors with fourth pick, Kyle Lowry's future up in the air.
And maybe Lowry and DeRozan going to the Lakers?
Yep.
Have you heard this?
Yeah, that's one. I think that's one of those great online things that will come and go and disappear. But it's the NBA, and the offseason in the NBA is the most entertaining in all of sports.
It's wild.
And all of that coming up, with the Jays coming home in a week, with the Jays sort of maybe in a race or not in a race, like, what a wild July this is turning out to be at a time when normally, you know, this is, the 23rd of July? Normally this is the hockey, the draft is long over.
And of course,
and
we
drafts are gone.
The draft would be over a month ago. This would be the dog days. The guys would be off of their golf courses on their European golf trips and relaxing. And instead, everyone's grinding away. And the Leafs are going to have to really literally grind away to replace Zach Hyman. And he's going to be a hard player to replace.
How do you do it?
So who's a player like him?
Barkley Goodrow.
Okay, he's with the Rangers now. So where do you find a guy? So Brendan Gallagher's kind of like him, except Gallagher's more of a net front goal-scoring guy. Zach Hyman's the guy. I've always said if you put a puck in a fan's pocket at a game, Zach Hyman would find that puck or die trying. Someone who can dig the puck out like that to good players, who can score when he has to, is hard to find. So
you're going to have to invent one, I think. You're going to have to find...
But there's no one in the pipeline.
What?
There's no one in the pipeline.
No, you're going to have to find... somebody that can do that kind of job on another team that maybe is not being used properly or utilized properly that you believe can do that. I think the Leafs believe that Nick Foligno might have been able to do that, but he never really played healthy for them, and now I suspect that they can't afford to bring him back, you know, in the range that they're going to have to pay to replace Hyman.
And I still think that Hyman brings something to the game that Foligno doesn't. There's still an element to Hyman's game that Foligno doesn't have. He's a really hard...
This guy scored 31 goals in his last 82 NHL games.
Yeah.
He's been... I think the previous 82, I think it was 27. He scored a lot of goals for a guy who you don't think has good hands.
And for all the people that say, well, he played with good players, it's hard to play with good players. Ask Chris Kunitz, right? Look at all the guys... The two guys that played the best with Crosby in Pittsburgh were Pascal Dupuis and Chris Kunitz. A lot of stars couldn't do it.
And if you go back to the best moments the Leafs had during the season, that three-game series in Edmonton, I think the score was 13-1. He played on the third line with Engvall and Mikheyev, and that line scored in all three games.
Also coming up in a couple of weeks is the Canadian Football League season. NFL camps are open, so let's turn our attention to some football talk. And we're joined by our TSN football insider and analyst, Dave Naylor. Dave, thanks for joining us. I'm going to ask you right away, the CFL season starts in 13 days, right? What's it going to look like?
I think it's going to look really good because it's opening in Winnipeg and Saskatchewan, where there are going to be, I think, a pair of sellouts for those two games. And then when they move over to Alberta, I think they're going to have good crowds in Edmonton and Calgary for that first week. Now, you know, within the stadium, there are going to be some things that are going to be a little bit different. I think there's going to be, you know, trying to not have the sort of crowds gathering in the stands, you know, outside of the seats, those kinds of things. But Saskatchewan and Alberta in particular, you know, the regulations are off. There's no restrictions. In Manitoba, it's a bit of a different experiment because you must be double vaxxed to go to a game there, which, you know, they're going to have to message to fans to get there early because you're going to have to show your double vax. You're going to have to show ID, which is not something, you know, we're used to. So, you know, other than that, I think it's going to look relatively normal, you know, for the opening weekend of the season.
But normally there's preseason games. And normally you have maybe a mini camp of some kind before you have a training camp to get to this point. I really wonder what the football is going to look like, even though we know, you know, majority of the quarterbacks anyhow that are going to be starting on week one. But what is it going to look like compared to what we're used to seeing?
Well, you've got three elements, you know, when you're talking about the actual quality of the game that are different from a normal year. One is you have 2 years of transactions and turnover and retirements in one. And we know that there's in any football season from one to another, it's a sport with a high degree of attrition. So you've got 2 years worth of attrition. Then you've got, for the first time, most of these guys in their lives, you know, they've gone 20 months without playing football. So there's, you know, another unknown. And then the third unknown, as you mentioned, is having no preseason games. Now, it's a month-long training camp. So you don't have the travel dates for a day off after games and things like that. And the teams are playing some competitive scrimmages and things like that. And then the other factor is that, depending on the team, I mean, when Mark Trestman was coaching in Toronto, I don't think he played. Most of his starters didn't even play preseason games. I mean, he held them out completely.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, not so well.
Wow.
I don't know if that was the factor. There's a correlation. I don't know. But the point is that a lot of coaches look at the relationship between risk and reward of playing players in preseason games. I mean, we've seen that in the NFL. The NFL used to cut down in mid-camp, right? You know, they have to be down to this number of players, this many players, this number of players. Well, the NFL doesn't do that anymore. They cut everybody at the end of training camp. Why? Because they want to keep everybody around to play in these meaningless preseason games so the starters don't have to play. So it's really, you know, the culture of football has gone from, you know, preseason games being tune-ups for stars to, you know, auditions for understudies.
So let's touch on Southern Ontario for just a second.
Yep.
The Hamilton Tiger Cats obviously are a contending team. We don't know who their starting quarterback is. The Argos are, we don't know what they are, contending or not, and we don't know who their quarterback is. So let us in right now on who's going to quarterback either of these teams.
You know, it's funny because you don't get that many instances where you have, you know, a purely wide open competition at the quarterback job. I mean, usually, you know, there's somebody who's the lead and somebody else who's challenging. But in these two situations, both teams declared them wide open. And you can see why in Hamilton, certainly. I mean, Jeremiah Mazzoli was playing, you know, at a spectacularly high level when he was injured about a third of the way through the 2019 season. And Dane Evans, who was just in his second season, you know, came in and carried them all the way to the Grey Cup. And I think there were some people surprised that Jeremiah Mazzoli signed back in Hamilton, given the competitive situation that's there. You know, everybody who talks about the relationship that those two guys have talk about it being very special, very unique, you know, that they are truly competitors and teammates and in the truest sense, and you know that it's not something that's dividing the room, but it's a heck of a choice. And then, of course, the question is going to be, once you make that choice, if things don't go well for whatever reason along the way, you know, how long are you committed to that? Are you going to the other guy? Because certainly they both have resumes that say they deserve to be starting quarterbacks in the CFL. And down the highway in Toronto, you got a slightly different situation. And look, I think that Nick Arbuckle is the lead dog there, just because of the fact that he started 7 games for Calgary. He was very successful, and he has a relationship with Ryan Dinwiddie, the head coach of the Argonauts, who was the quarterback coach in Calgary. And, you know, there's just a familiarity there in terms of, you know, terminology and systems and those kinds of things. And McLeod Bethel-Thompson, who's been with the Argonauts the last couple of years, played very well in the second half last year. And I was on a call with him recently where he just talked about, you know, how much, like so many players we talk about, it's usually that 2 to 3 year window where a quarterback kind of either gets it or doesn't in Canadian football. Very rarely, you know, is a guy able to compete at a very high level before that time. And usually if it hasn't clicked for them for 2 or 3 years, you know, it never does. And this is year number 3 for him. So you know, I think the Argonauts feel like a lot of teams do right now that this is a 2-quarterback league, and you know, you better have 2 that can play. And yeah, we'll see where it goes. But I would expect that Nick Arbuckle is going to start when the Argonauts open in a couple of weeks.
All right. We're talking to our football insider, Dave Naylor. David, the NFL made some news yesterday announcing that if a game is postponed due to COVID and can't be made up, the players on either team, on both teams, won't be paid. And there'll be punishment for the team that if an unvaccinated player or players cause the outbreak, that there'll be financial penalties to the team itself that has to forfeit the game. The team with the outbreak will forfeit the game. Today, the Minnesota Vikings fired assistant coach Rick Dennison, who's been around the NFL as a player and coach for 30 years, because he refused to get vaccinated. What's your take on this, and what kind of ripple effect is this going to have in other leagues and even in the CFL?
Well, it's interesting because the coaches thing is a requirement, right? Like the league has mandated that coaches have to get vaccinated. It's not a choice. With players, they haven't, and I assume that has to do with negotiations with the NFLPA. And you know, the NFLPA took some criticism yesterday, and they kind of defended themselves, saying, "Well, we had this rule last year, you know, that if games were forfeited, players were not going to get paid." Well, the difference was there was no vaccine last time, right? So people understood that could happen, just as through circumstance. But now, you know, the more players you've got on your team that are not vaccinated, the more potential there is for an outbreak. And if there's an outbreak, not only are your team not getting paid, but the guys on the other team aren't getting paid. So you think of the degree of peer pressure, or just pressure, I guess, on players to get vaccinated. And it's, as people have talked about it, you know, this is like mandating vaccines without actually mandating vaccines. So I think it got a lot of people's attention. The NFL is saying, you know, we're going to make this as uncomfortable as possible for people who don't want to get vaccinated. And the comparisons have been drawn to what's going on in the CFL, where the CFL is essentially operating the way the NFL did last year, or the way hockey did this past season, where there is no different classification for who's vaccinated and who's not. Everybody's under the same protocol. Guys who, if you've got both shots, you're not going to be able to go and do what you want. The reason for this, I think, is if you look at the timing of when the CFL had to draft its protocol, you know, back in April and May, they couldn't even be certain at that time that everybody who wanted a vaccine could get one. I mean, I don't know about you guys. My second vaccine was booked originally for like August 6th, and I ended up getting it on, you know, June the 15th or something. But at the time they were drafting these policies, which they had to get approved by all six provinces and the federal government, they couldn't really mandate vaccines or even put in a system that made it punitive to not have a vaccine because they weren't sure everybody was going to be able to get a vaccine by the time the season started. Well, here we are now. Anybody who wants to get vaccinated can be. The season's starting in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And there are conversations going on between the Players Association and the league about loosening restrictions. The problem is, again, six provinces to sign off, federal government. It's about a month in lag time from the time that they would submit that proposal until they would get it approved. So I would expect that the Canadian Football League is going to have some kind of two-tiered system, rules for guys that are vaccinated, rules for guys that are not, at some point this year. And I think the Players Association is going to be okay with that. But it's probably 4 to 5 weeks away, at least. The start of the season, they're going to have to act like, you know, it's January. And like we saw the NFL and the NHL dealing the past year. So part of it, I think, is just the NFL had an earlier vaccine schedule and a later start to their season. The CFL had a later vaccine schedule in Canada and an earlier start to their season.
So a few weeks ago, NFL teams got checks from the league for $309 million each for television rights.
What's the cap in that league?
Over $200 million. Yeah. Well, it's over two. I think it's 219 this year,
so
I think.
That check covered their payrolls nicely.
Yes, right? More than covered the payroll. So when you get that check, you're the owner of whatever franchise, and you get your check, and the league says, you got to vaccinate all your coaches. Like, firing your coach is about the easiest thing in the world to do, is it not?
Well, exactly, Steve. And this is, you know, we can talk about the different, you know, direction or cultures in the two leagues, right? That check is why the league office runs the NFL. Everybody's getting $309 million a year. They tell people what to do. They do it.
That's why you play Thursday and Sunday.
And pretty soon Wednesday and Tuesday.
Yeah, so you're talking about, you know, the massive share of their revenue comes out of the league office, you know, through the television and sponsorship and other things, but mostly through television. And by comparison, in the CFL, the distribution is about $5 million a year. I mean, for a team like at the higher end that are doing $35 or $40 million a year in business, I mean, you guys do the math. It's a pretty small percentage of your overall revenue, which is why it tends to be the teams that dictate things to the league. Because they don't have those gigantic checks. But you know, to your point, you know, the NFL, I think what they've set out with their message, you know, is that there is a way to play football and play it safely. We believe they are deferring completely to science, to the vaccines. And they basically said we don't have the ability to force players to get vaccinated through our, you know, the negotiations with the NFLPA, but we're going to push that needle as far as we can. And we are going to send a message about where we think what we need to do to have a good season and what we need players to do. And while we can't take away the right not to be vaccinated, we are going to make life as difficult as possible. And we're going to bring an enormous amount of pressure on you, you know, through the means during which how we're going to determine, you know, what happens if games can't be played.
David, thanks for talking to us. We'll look forward to more news as the CFL season approaches and the NFL season approaches as well.
Thanks, guys. It's great to be talking football again, especially in the CFL context. It's a long layoff.
Nice to do it. Thanks very much. Are you okay?
Yeah, I just had an absolute horrible cramp, like a Charlie horse kind of cramp.
You look like you got stung by a bee there.
No, honestly, it was very, very painful.
News from Carey Price just in. Had knee surgery today, but should be ready for the start of the season.
Yeah, 10 to 12 weeks they're talking about.
Did not need hip surgery.
Yes.
So he'll be good.
It's 12 weeks. We'll be ready for the start of the season. That's 3 months.
Yeah, well, we're end of July now, so August ish.
He'll be probably missing camp.
Yeah, so we're probably looking at a November return for him.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Am I ready?
Are you buckled up?
I'm buckled up.
Have you sneaked?
My pain has gone.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was bad.
Are you?
I don't know where it came from.
Yesterday, I was spending all day trying to swat a fly that was in here. Are you ready for mean tweets?
Yes.
Okay. When we come back on Overdrive, it'll be mean tweets. For Steve and I, we'll see. Al's brother just exhaled deeply. Al's brother's not sure how this is going to go. He's got his helmet on. He's behind bulletproof glass. He's ready to go. But it is time for Mean Tweets. That's coming up next on Overdrive on TSN 1050, streaming on TSN.ca, the app, and on your home speakers. It's Overdrive on TSN 1050 on TSN 2 at 6:25. Gord Miller, Steve Simmons, how do you deal with online abuse?
I tend to ignore it.
Okay.
I think when you've been in the business as long as I have or you have, you know when you do good work. You know when the work isn't as good as maybe some of your better work is. And you know what you had to do to get to that work and who you had to know and who you had to speak to. And so you have enough confidence in your ability to do things the right way that you tend... What happens is I look at online sort of Twitter people, I guess, to lack of a better term. It's kind of like buzzing bees. You know, there's one in the nest and then they're all in there and they're all buzzing about and they're all saying the same things and they're all repeating each other. Wow. And you know, after a while, the noise just kind of drowns itself out.
So we'll joke about it today. We're doing mean tweets. I think there's a difference between, you know, what we're going to talk about today, mean tweets and abusive tweets.
Yeah. Well,
So there are people, we should point out, there are people and media figures especially and politicians and unfortunately for women and people of color and others who have had and people in the LGBTQ community have had to deal with abuse and hate. And so I think
But I think some of what we deal with is abuse and hate.
So most of this is now our
this is kind of fun. I've been called, like, one of the funny things, I used to be heavy many years ago.
I remember that.
You wouldn't believe how often someone makes a line about my weight. I got diabetes in 1994. I've weighed basically the same thing for the last 28 years. But I still get the weight thing. I still get the religious thing. It still comes in. It comes in quite often. You just have to learn to
I used to get up on my chin all the time.
Compartmentalize it.
I used to get up on my chin all the time.
Yeah.
So I used to joke that my whole life I wanted one, then I got two. So here we go. So I think you're the same. My Twitter mentions are blocked. So I have two. I should give them a shout out. Fee and Jordan, two university students who don't live in Toronto, monitor my account for me in exchange for World Junior tickets. And okay. there was no spectators allowed at the World Junior last year. So they take care of any of the nasty stuff and report it for me. But our producer, The Grappler, has graciously dug through our mentions and picked out 10 mean tweets each for us. You go first.
I just want to pick one thing before getting to it. I trend on Twitter quite often. I don't really understand sometimes why. and almost every time I'm trending, it's about something that has nothing to do with me.
Oh, good.
But nonetheless, you know, one of my kids or somebody will let me know that I'm trending on Twitter, and I'll be very excited by that.
All right.
So starting with, this is from CJ Woodless. CJ Woodling wrote, I recently saw a TikTok that said if you have intrusive thoughts, just tweet them to Ted Cruz. However, for hockey people, I think we should tweet our intrusive thoughts to Simmons Steve, that's me, instead. You're welcome.
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Somebody else picked it out. I can't say.
Here's my first one. And by the way, my daughter loves this segment. She helped pick some of these up. At Max Snack 22, Gord Miller was a clown and probably the worst play-by-play caller around right now. Which is amazing because I've been around for 31 years at TSN. So if I'm the worst, that's you got to give me credit for that.
That's to say,
am I actually the worst, Steve? Like, you know, one of the worst I could deal with. Am I really the worst?
But it's funny. Remember Mark Hebscher?
Yeah.
Mark Hebscher and Jim Taddy used to do that show late at night.
Yeah.
Sportsline. And in 1987, I wrote a piece about sports on TV in Toronto, and I said something about that show that I didn't like. Mark is posting that recently on Facebook, the article from 1987.
Oh, dear.
About the criticism I wrote. So people hang on to things a very long time.
What's your next one?
This is from Sean Ashley. Steve Simmons isn't just one of the least honest reporters I've read in my time around the NHL. He's one of the worst people. Be nice to lose this replaceable reporter and horrible person.
I'm going to say you've not met him, that person.
Yeah.
You're a pretty good guy.
I find things like this funny because if anyone knew, like, and it's the same with you, if anyone knew who you were talking to, where you were getting your information from, which people you were texting with, you know, that kind of thing. You know, it's the same people who say, I don't know how you get an interview, you know, and you just got off the phone with whomever it was you were talking to. And so...
I always love the Gord Miller has terrible takes and doesn't know anything about hockey. Like, I don't talk to GMs and coaches every day. Here's one. 5 minutes into yesterday's Overdrive show, I had to shut it off for the first time ever. There's no one as desperate to be on the same side of those who scream the loudest as Gord Miller is. I can assure you that when I'm around people that scream the loudest, I leave. Next.
This is from Terry Wellbanks. Not baseball related necessarily, but I'd like to trade Sim and Steve, that's me, to anywhere but sports media. That's my dream scenario as a Toronto sports fan. I'm not trying to be funny. That bum for a bag of balls for the boys. Now, I have the same answer to every single person who says this. Turn the page.
Yeah.
Don't want to read it? Turn the page. Very simple. I've been writing in the paper for 40 years. If you don't want to read it, boom. You don't have to. Nobody's forcing you to.
Al Michaels once said, you know, if you don't like it, there's a thing you can use in your hand. From Garland010. This is my daughter's favorite. Gord Miller looks like a Muppet. Well, which one? I guess Kermit. I get the Kermit thing, right? Droopy eyes.
I thought it was the old guys that are up in the balcony.
There's like nine Muppet movies. They're like movie stars.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't mind looking like a Muppet.
There you go. Okay.
This is from EDMC78. I honest to God think you get paid to troll. You are horrible, yet here I am responding to your crap. Ugh.
He seems to be in a conundrum.
Yes. I'm baffled by that one.
Yeah, if it aggravates, I always think of like social media. Like, I always tell people, one of my rules for social media is don't follow people who aggravate you. Yeah. Like, why would you do that?
I see people say, yet you're following me.
Yeah. At Keep It Real 3416, Gord Miller should lose his job for such a moronic comment. Clearly, Anderson won't play a game, if at all, until the playoffs. This ain't the armature hour, Gord.
What does that mean?
I think he means
amateur spelled wrong.
Leafs brass knew exactly what they were doing, just like Tampa with Kucherov. So I said that the Leafs might want to get Freddie Anderson to a game before the playoffs. So that was apparently armature hour. So I guess he's an amateur quarterback.
I guess. This is from Lore4. Wearing a mask is no issue for Steve Simmons because he's already so used to talking out of his ass.
Oh. Can you do that?
It's an expression.
You know what? I had my mask and my profile picture for a long time on Twitter. You'd be amazed how that turns into like a thing. Like
everything turns into a thing.
But Overdrive... site got thing that get that mask wearing Gord Miller off there. Here's one from at TML Oak 23. Gord Miller has to be the biggest idiot on television. Well, this goes back to being the worst play-by-play caller.
So I'm not the worst play-by-play guy, or you're the biggest idiot?
So I'm not only the worst play-by-play caller, I'm also the biggest idiot.
Yeah,
like that's hard. Like, think about it. I've been on TV now for 38 years as an idiot. And the worst play-by-play call. This is staying power.
And that large network to the south, when they need to enhance their people for major events, they might be calling.
So NBC hired me for 11 years. See, again, like the worst play-by-play caller. So
they sat in their office and said, you know what?
Who's the worst?
Let's get the worst guy.
And the biggest idiot.
Okay. This is from Jay Fresh Hockey. Steve Simmons is like when you buy furniture from Walmart and you know it's going to suck, but the Walmart is nearby, and I mean, it's just a shoe rack. No need to get fancy, but none of your shoes fit on it, and it breaks when you try and put your boots on it. Now, that's a takeoff on a lead I wrote about William Nylander.
Oh, yeah,
with IKEA, and some morons on social media were accusing me of racism. Which is like the most ridiculous thing of all time. But that's what this is. That's
so,
a takeoff.
Okay, I would say that. So he keeps reading your columns. I would say if you went back to Walmart and kept buying that thing,
no,
that's on you.
Yeah.
Here we go. At 1952 AR, Gord Miller, Eastern Homer. If it was a Leaf, he would be saying it wasn't even a penalty. So I love this one because no matter what you do in a hockey broadcast.
Or any broadcast.
You're a homer for somebody. So if I say something Montreal against the Canadiens, oh, you're a Leaf. I'm from Western Canada. I'm from Alberta, people. Like,
I saw Jack Buck recently said, he was doing the All-Star baseball game.
Joe Buck,
sorry. His dad was Jack. Yeah. Joe Buck said during the baseball All-Star game, no, I don't hate your team. Because everybody's wearing their own team uniform.
I just don't love them as much as you do.
Yeah. Well, that's the way of the world. Everybody thinks that whomever is doing the play-by-play is anti their team. And it's funny, because the same thing happens in writing. In Toronto, I hate the Leafs. This is the perception. I hate the Leafs. In Montreal or Ottawa or Vancouver, I'm a Leaf homer. So
that's hard to do.
This is what I know. I'm doing my job reasonably well when it's split right down the middle between one and the other.
Okay. Next.
I've got Jimbo Knows. The Blue Jays can take comfort in the fact they'll never suck at baseball as bad as Steve Simmons sucks at asking questions.
I think you ask good questions.
That's a funny thing.
I take
sort of pride in my question, in my ability to ask questions. And what's happened is as the business has changed, and it's become crazy now because you have a press conference and you ask a question, and it's now the press conferences are online or they're being shown live or whatever. By the time you finish the question, you've got a text message from somebody or an email from somebody saying, "That's the dumbest question I've ever heard."
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? And asking good questions is hard.
Oh,
it's very hard to ask.
Interviewing is not an easy thing.
First of all, don't ask someone a question that has the answer in it, and ask a question. Don't make a statement. Here's the next one. From BurnDude403, Gord Miller is a disgrace to Canada. We should be shipping him to Russia. Well, TSN will in a couple of years, the World Juniors there. I get this a lot from our relations department during the World Junior and World Championship, because there are people that don't want it. Like, if you say Canada hasn't scored in its last 15 power play chances, you're anti-Canada.
That I understand completely. This is from Achan929. No one dropping names except Steve Simmons, who continues to be the biggest ass clown in Toronto.
There's bigger.
Yeah, but you don't drop, as you well know, you don't drop names unless...
If you're quoting people.
Unless you're quoting them.
Like if you want to say, like if I say I asked Scotty Bowman about this, well, I did.
Yeah.
From @LeafAnnAnn. This is for Gord Miller, TSN. Please, and you should know better than jinx Jack Campbell by saying the one word you took away any chance he had of a shutout. Just shut up, please. The shutout people.
Yeah, that's a whole.
The shutout people,
in baseball.
The
shutout, no hitter thing.
No hitter.
Yeah.
So, again, the great Vin Scully called four no hitters by Sandy Koufax, including a perfect game, and said no hitter and perfect game in every single one of them. What I say, they can't hear. But the shutout people. Like, they don't step on cracks.
You're going to jinx.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to jinx
you're
them.
You're never going to win them over.
This is from Jim Ducharme. @StephenASmith is America's equivalent to @SimmonsSteve. I don't know how either has a job covering professional sports. I'd like to send Mr. Ducharme a note and ask him if he can get me Stephen A. Smith money.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because if he can do that, I'd be really happy with him.
Because, I don't know what you make. But I've read what Stephen A. Smith makes.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Put it this way.
It's more than that. What's that person's name?
He makes more in Maria Taylor?
No, the person
Jim Ducharme.
It's more than Jim Ducharme will see in his life.
Well, more than I'll see in my life.
In 1 year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've already figured that out. Yeah.
Okay. This is from @NAParker77. Gord Miller's call in the Toronto-Ottawa game is horrific. He doesn't know who any of the players are. Well, I know Matthews. Come on, give me one. Like
you know what's funny? As play-by-play guys get old and older, you tend to notice as they get older and older into their careers that they start missing names and they start getting some names wrong. But usually that happens like 70-plus.
Well, I'll say this, though, Steve. I got to say this. Like, you take some of these third uniform teams you're wearing, like that... That could have been a Toronto-Ottawa game where Ottawa wore their thirds, which are red numbers on black uniforms you can't see, and you're on the sixth floor. I'm just saying, like, look, I've misidentified players. We all do it. But I don't think you have to be older to do it. But I think I
there
knew
was that one Leaf game this year where they were wearing a new uniform.
They were wearing the thirds.
And the numbers and the names. You couldn't even see the names.
And people had to, don't forget, this year a lot of guys had to call games off the tube, which is very hard.
I saw a funny thing with Rick Sutcliffe. You know, the former big league pitcher.
Same birthday as me.
And Rick Sutcliffe was doing a broadcast of a major league game, and they asked him about the close play at third base. And the game, I believe, was in Chicago. And he says, what do I know? I'm at home in San Diego.
I'm in San Diego. How do I know? Yeah, go ahead. This is your last one?
Yes, C.J. Castleman. Cutting-edge journalism. Cannot believe that some people are paid to produce this comment. And worse yet, that some actually subscribe to his every word.
So your notes column,
yes,
I think, isn't it one of the most clicked on?
Paul Godfrey used to call it the most read pages in Canadian journalism. When he was published.
So they track that stuff, right?
Yes, now they know everything.
Do you know? Do they give you your click?
Oh, yeah. So, I know that it's, that column is the most read sports column in Canada.
Oh.
Period.
That's good.
And it's, the notes column started in 1988, so we're talking 33 years ago. So to have that kind of sustained sort of strength, I hate it in terms of doing it.
It must be hard.
It is a pain in the whatever, but I love it in that people love it. And so it's one of those weird things.
Here's my last one. At Jamie Warren 4, Gord Miller does it again. What a turnip. I think that was a shutout thing. Okay, so you know what? Okay, hang on. You can call me the worst play-by-play guy you want. You can call me an idiot. You can say I don't know players. I draw the line at turnip because turnips are gross. I don't like turnips.
In stew, turnips have
turnips
some...
Turnips are the worst part of stew. Turnips are the part of stew you eat around.
Okay.
Turnips, when you get a mixed, we need a medley of potatoes and, you know, stuff and turnip. Yeah. Turnip and squash is the stuff you eat around.
Okay. Squash makes a good soup, though.
Well, fine. But I'm just saying, I'm going to draw the line at turnip.
Okay.
I can take all the other stuff you people dish out. I can take everything else, but I'm the worst. But turnip, I'm sorry, Jamie Warren, for that. That's the hill I'm going to die on.
Yeah.
I am not accepting turnip.
And I'm going to say this. If people out there don't like the work that you do, then they don't understand the business.
Well, thank you. It's nice of you to say. I think the one thing is that it's easy in dealing with social media. And the reason I keep my mentions off is I like to keep my mind clear. Because I think you can get yourself in a position where you think so many people hate you. When they don't. I mean, look.
Well,
I'm very fortunate, Steve. I'm very fortunate to have the job that I have and to love what I do. And I'm very fortunate that, you know, the vast majority of our audience likes what I do. So you can't get yourself. Al Michaels one time was at a thing I was at, and he said that, you know, they did a Sports Illustrated cover story on John Madden going to Monday Night Football. And the only letter Sports Illustrated published was, great, now get rid of Al Michaels. He's the greatest play-by-play announcer of all time. So if you're going to listen, to that, so this was good though. This was good, and I'm glad that now I will warn you, people are trying to climb on this bandwagon. The polls are closed.
Okay.
The polls actually closed at 4 o'clock when the grapplers.
And to be perfectly honest, of stuff I've had over the years, this was pretty tame by comparison.
Yeah. So, good point. We have more to come. We're going to talk about weekend plans and kind of recap what's happened on what a busy day this has been in sports, and there's more to come. There's more coming in as we speak. This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, streaming on tsn.ca, on the app, and on your home speakers. Overdrive on TSN 1050 for this Friday. It's Mail-In and Friday. Gord Miller, Steve Simmons. Overdrive on Friday, brought to you by Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill. Weekend plans, what are you doing? Now, before I ask you this, I should preface this. I aired one of my pet peeves a week ago Thursday with Mark Rowe. This idea that everyone goes to the cottage.
Yes.
Lots of people, most people don't go to the cottage. The vast majority of people don't go to the cottage.
I grew up a cottage person where when we were kids, we went to Lake Simcoe, like from the day that school ended, and we came home on Labor Day. Like that's what we did as kids. But we've never, my wife and I and kids, we never had a cottage, and my kids used to go to camp, and therefore they didn't want to go to cottages, and we built a pool in the backyard, and that's kind of our...
I love cottages, other people's cottages, love. And I go to Point of Barrel a lot. Friends of mine have a place up there just north of Parry Sound. It's fantastic. I'm not against cottages, but I've never... You know, I used to talk to Keith Pelly when he ran the Argos, and I used to say, like, Keith, like, why wouldn't you guys play a home game on a Saturday? Oh, can't do that in the summer. All of our fans go to the cottage. Really?
Well,
then there's like 6 million people in the city looking for something to do. Like,
you know, it's funny. You go to... We love Little Italy, for example.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in the summertime on a Saturday night or a Friday night, we might wander down there for dinner or walk around. And, well, it tends to be packed most of the time. Yeah. Like, these aren't, you know, not everybody does have a place on Lake Joe.
So I'm going to, you know what I'm going to do tonight? So I indulged my guilty pleasure today. I went to the Avenue Diner. You ever been there?
Yes.
Louis, great guy, right? Been there forever. It's an iconic landmark. I love that place. I've been trying this summer to get in, like, good shape, like to be in good shape. I blew it up today. So when I get home, I'm going to go for a bike ride.
Well, you know what?
I got it, like, seriously, like, I crushed a banquet burger that was so good. But, yeah, that was a mistake.
I'm a great believer in that bad eating day once every couple weeks or once even a week. And because I'm diabetic, I can kind of play with my insulin and give myself a little more if I need to, or give myself a little less if I need to, depending on what it is. And so, you know, yeah, I have my... everybody, I think, if you've lived in a city long enough, you have your spots
so,
that you absolutely adore.
So I think the other thing I'll be doing is following the news, and there's more on it right now. Emily Kaplan from ESPN reporting that Seth Jones is being traded to the Chicago Blackhawks.
Well, it's funny you say that, because today I was talking to somebody about Seth Jones, and I said I wouldn't be the least bit surprised after they went and picked up his brother if they're now going to make a play to get Seth Jones. I'm curious to see what they have to give Columbus to get him.
So the trick with Seth Jones is he's 1 year away from unrestricted free agency. Yeah. So
would you make a deal without knowing you can sign him?
I'd want to talk to him at least. I'd want to get my sense of will he sign with us. Now, the one trick is it worked with Rob and Scott Niedermeyer, right?
Yeah.
You know, Rob was the bait to get Scott Niedermeyer to Anaheim, but Rob Niedermeyer could really play. Caleb Jones has shown flashes. He's not a regular NHLer yet.
So if he's the seventh defenseman and you can have Seth Jones playing for you.
I know, but how's Seth going to feel if his brother's not playing?
Well, I don't know.
Remember Freddie and Dougie Hamilton?
His brother's getting paid.
Remember how that went, though?
Yeah, not well.
Remember when Dougie Hamilton didn't like it when his brother Freddie got sent down by Calgary? So, I mean,
there might be five, what I call or you call, a defenseman in the NHL.
He's one of them.
He's one of them.
He's a terrific. So there's that.
Do we know a price?
Not yet. Darren Dreger reporting that Toronto and Edmonton are working on a compensation agreement for Zach Hyman, but he says the Oilers aren't interested in giving up more than a late-round draft pick. So the Oilers okay with a 7-year deal. So the Oilers don't have to make a deal with Toronto to get them to sign Hyman and get the 8th year. So that's developing. So, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks all of a sudden, you know, they freed up the cap room with Duncan Keith moving to Edmonton. Now you bring in Seth Jones. There's some interesting stuff going on the ice in Chicago. There's some things.
Well, Taze is coming back next year, number right. one. But, you know, you're going to have to give up something significant
well, that's what
to
I'm
get
wondering.
Seth Jones. Is that Kirby Dach? Who is it going to be? I think there's a high price to pay. And, yes, there are all these horrible problems going on with the Blackhawks, you know, off yeah. the ice right now. But, you know, they're trying to rebuild the on-ice, which has not been very good the last few years.
Although they were a little bit, you know, better last year than people thought. I think they were, you know, they surprised some people early on. Now, again, it's a strange season. And
like, would you trade DeBrincat and something? Because you can't go DeBrincat well, for Jones one for one.
No, but I don't care what you give up to get Seth Jones. Or I don't care what you get to get Seth Jones. You're not getting value. You're not going to get enough. You're trading a player that no matter who Chicago doesn't have anybody as good as Seth Jones.
And this is
except Patrick Kane.
And this is the part about trading that a lot of people don't necessarily understand, because you're looking which player is going for which player right. and how it works. Cliff Fletcher, our friend, told me many, many times, I don't ever care who I trade away. Yeah. I care who I'm getting
right.
and what does my team look like after I get
right, because
him.
You don't track, I mean, now if it doesn't work out on your end, but they don't make, you're right, they don't make those comparisons. I always thought one of the best deals ever made was by Al Coates, a Cliff Fletcher disciple. He traded Joe Nieuwendyk, who was refusing to re-sign with Calgary, to Dallas for Jerome Iginla.
Yeah, and at the time, I was working radio the day of that deal. Nobody even knew at the time, or very few people knew who Iginla was.
And so that was a deal that helped both teams. So this is going to be an interesting day, weekend, and of course free agency coming up on Wednesday. I'll be back on Overdrive on Monday with Brian Hayes. You have yourself a good weekend.
Enjoy yourself.
I will.
It was fun.
Thanks for the mean tweets, even though you didn't mean them to go on the air. Thanks to all of our guests today. And we'll be back on Monday on Overdrive on TSN 1050, on the TSN app, streaming on TSN.ca, and on your home speakers. Did I get all that in, Melissa? Got it all in.
Do we get to say we'll chat then somewhere along here?
We'll chat then.